Thank you very much for being a loyal listener of my podcast for nearly 7 years. Can you believe it's been 7 years of podcasting? And while my career has taken many turns, and what hasn't changed is my passion for property, my passion for feeling empowered and confident with your financial future, wealth management, all that goes along with that, and my interest in health and nutrition, longevity, that's come from growing up in a vegetarian family, and my postgrad certificate in nutrition. All of these things have given me this very firm foundation in health and nutrition that continues to today. And I was finding that more of the people that I was following were also interested in not just creating a wealthier life, but creating a healthier life. So welcome to my newly relaunched podcast. Well, hello. Thank you for those who have joined Edel and I live here on Instagram and on Facebook and YouTube and LinkedIn. So as you know, every month, Edel and I, we discuss the latest in the UK house price data. And Edel actually compiles all this information every month and puts it onto this really handy one-page document, a tracker, which allows you to really see at one glance what all the UK house price data is doing. So Edel, tell us a bit about that first.
Yeah, so the issue we've had is that there's so much housing data available, and there's always news headlines which be quoting house prices going up, house prices are coming down, rents are increasing by X amount. And the issue we've had is that all of this information is collecting different sets of data, and they're kind of bamboozling the general public, and headlines can actually be misleading because they're only quoting one set of data. So for the last 6 years, we've been collecting this data, which is on one dashboard. Appreciate you can't see it there, but it's on an A4 page where we collect information from Nationwide, Halifax, Rightmove, Homelet, ONS government data. We then have Bank of England data, risk data, HMRC transactions, and we track the level of the rate of inflation. And all of this is put onto one page where we actually show the monthly rates, what's happened month on month. We show what's happened on an annual basis. And we actually have a trend line on each indice. And the beauty of the dashboard is you can see all of the information as a snapshot in time. And you can look at that data and compare what each metric is actually stating. Now, for example, when you look at Nationwide and Halifax, they're the two largest lenders in the UK. They'd be collecting information about their book of business, and they'll extrapolate and kind of manipulate the figures to come out with what they believe house prices are actually doing. You'll get institutions like Rightmove and Zoopla. They'll be reporting on asking prices. And then you get ONS, which is Office of National Statistics, which is using data taken from the Land Registry, which is actual sold prices of property in the UK. The only issue with that is a lagging indicator, meaning it takes about 2 to 3 months for that data to be uploaded. But again, if you were a newspaper, whether it be, you know, Sky TV, BBC, CTAM, Evening Standard, they could take any one of these bits of data, churn out a headline, whereas what we're trying to do is cut through all of that data, put it on one page. It's probably worth saying for all of our new listeners is you can actually ask to be added to the mailing list. So if you drop me an email at hi@myproperty-consultant.london, I'll add you to the mailing list and we'll push this out on a monthly basis. And you get a short email from me summarizing what is actually happening with UK house prices.
And I must say, it's really useful. So please, as always, do feel free to add your comments and questions. And we will attempt to get to all of those throughout this live podcast. So let's get to this month's data, which interestingly is the end of 2023, because the main information that we're looking at now is from December 2023. What I thought was really interesting is that Knight Frank have already revised their forecast for the full year 2024 from -4 to now +3 growth for the year. So did they give any commentary about that?
They didn't give specific commentary, but there is a general sentiment which they've kind of alluded to. What did happen on Boxing Day last year, or Boxing Day just recently, a record number of houses got listed onto Rightmove. So there's this big kind of splurge in properties coming onto the market. So I believe that there is a shift in market sentiment. And a lot of this is driven by inflation and linked to the Bank of England interest rates. So for example, there was a blip towards the end of last year. The November inflation rates were 3.9%, and they were coming down from a peak of around 10%. But there was a little blip in December where inflation had increased from 3.9% to 4%. So a little blip, but luckily the mainstream lenders haven't reacted. We had the Bank of England last week had their interest rate decision where they have kept interest rates at 5.25%, and that's the fourth month in a row. And the Bank of England have been very cautious not to encourage us to go out spending, whether it be on houses or consumer products. What they have indicated is the rate of interest set by the Bank of England may start to come down sooner than anticipated. So in December last year, the Bank of England were saying it would be at least quarter three, quarter four, so the end of 2024, when they'd start to reduce rates. The latest inflation figures are showing that because although inflation is at 4%, everyone is going to be watching quite closely because the Bank of England, they believe that inflation will come down to 2% by May this year. So it's coming down a lot faster than anticipated. And the traders in the markets, they believe that interest rates, the earliest interest rates will start decreasing, could be as early as April or May this year. So we may see a reduction from 5.25%. They may bring it down by 0.25%. The Bank of England is quite keen to keep the economy going because we're teetering on recession. This is how do we keep the economy going? And that transpires into market sentiment. So I believe the Knight Frank, a couple of other institutions which have quite a rosy picture about house prices for 2024, are taking inflation and the Bank of England rate, meaning if interest rates start to come down, what will happen is that will encourage people to just get on and do it and buy the property that they want. And as soon as interest rates start coming down, you'll see people start spending, house prices perversely will start going up.
Yeah. And why is that so? What is the impact on the property prices?
Yeah. So although at the beginning of the year, you'll have slightly more properties coming to market, what has happened over the last 12 months is people have been kind of sitting on their hands. Should they sell their property? Should they move property? But there's always people which will be buying or selling for natural reasons, be people getting separated, people moving because of work, people upscaling, needing a bigger family home, or people downsizing. Transaction levels are only 20% below a normal year. But with if we have some stability within interest rates, people can actually then work out their affordability. Can they afford to move? And I think we're at that point now where with interest rates being stable, we know they're not going to go up. They're going to start coming down. So those people which are planning to buy properties will come out and start buying properties. But because there's going to be so many more buyers than properties available, that will nudge up prices in desirable areas.
Yeah, we've still had such a supply issue. But interestingly, we've had a record number of properties that have come on the market since, I think, 2000 and since Boxing Day. So obviously that will feed into the supply. We've got Giuseppe and Daniel asking for the email for the monthly update, and we'll share that in the comments as well. So talk to me about the house prices. How did they end the year according to Nationwide, Halifax, yeah, and Rightmove?
So the summary was Nationwide at the end of last year, prices had fallen by -1.8%. Halifax had actually reported that prices had increased by 1.7%. Rightmove, they finished on as -0.7%. And ONS figures showed that prices had come down -2.1%. So that's on a year-on-year basis. And if you remember, last month we were talking about the forecasters last year. You had Knight Frank and Savills. They thought that prices would fall by 10% last year. So we had a lot of buyers. You know, we act as a buying agent. Some people were saying, well, let's wait until the beginning of 2024. We will rather purchase property when they are 10% lower. In reality, according to the official ONS data, prices only fell -2.1%. What has happened is interest rates are a lot higher now than they were 12 months ago. So I often get asked, when is the best time to buy property? I always say is when you have the finance available. And then, yeah, you can make a call on, you know, what is going to happen to house prices on a month-on-month basis, but you've got to take a long-term approach. So that leads me on to the monthly figures, which is quite interesting. So when you look at month-on-month figures, Nationwide showed that house prices have decreased by minus 0.4%. Halifax, quite interestingly, have shown that house prices increased 1.1% in the last month, and that is the fourth consecutive increase in house prices, which is quite interesting. Yeah. Rightmove are showing something quite similar. In December, price actually went down minus 1.7%. Their January figure showed that prices actually increased by 1.3% month on month. And when we look at the ONS data month on month, prices actually decreased by minus 0.8%. And in London, they decreased by minus 2.2%. So this is hardly disastrous figures. It's a mixed bag there. But if you read into all of the data at one point, it shows that house prices are relatively stable. And I think they'll continue to be so for the next 6 months or so.
Yeah, we've got quite a few questions that have come in. So first of all, though, one question from me or one point is, if you look at Nationwide and the comments that you put on your dashboard, house prices are still down about 4.5% from the all-time highs of late summer 2022. So there's still a bit of catch-up, which means it's probably a good opportunity to buy now if you're looking at the Nationwide numbers. I'm sure that's quite different if you're looking more specifically at various areas. So on that, we've had a question about specific areas. And I know last month you dug out some of the regional data. Do you have any of that available now?
It's only the same data because it only gets released on a quarterly basis in terms of, you know, the regional areas. But so it's like all of the data, we're showing average house prices, which is basically on a national level. So there will be price differences based on geographical location. You can then drill down in terms of houses versus flats. And then you can even dissect houses. A five-bedroom house will act very differently to a two-bedroom semi-detached house. Similarly with apartments as well. A one-bedroom apartment will act very differently from a three- or four-bedroom apartment. Yeah. So there's lots of different levels of data. Some of it is available, some of it isn't. Like, not all the institutions will collect that level of data. But all we can do is look at the averages. And then if we want to focus at one particular area, you know, we often get asked by our clients, can you look at the London area? We can dissect that by actual postcode or by actual geographical boundary. For example, you might look at Merton in London versus areas like Westminster in London. I have a very different example in terms of what they'll do in terms of house prices. Yeah.
So, Jonathan, what we'll do is at the end of this first quarter, we'll have a look at that regional data specifically and report in on that. So that's probably going to be maybe not the next month, but the month after's podcast. But Jonathan, thanks for the question. If you have a look at the December podcast that we did together, it will have a lot more information in there about your question on the regional variances in property. So when we're looking at, we've looked at the house price growth, what about rental growth? Because that was an area that was also very concerning. And I see that the growth in the rental market's slowing, but it's still up on a year-on-year basis.
It is. And what has happened in regards to rent? So the rental increase over a 12-month period, I think 6 months ago, so in June last year, rents on a national level were increasing at 10% annually. In London, about 9.3%. over that 12-month period. They have come down slightly. So we're looking at data issued by Homelet. Over 12 months, the January figure shows that over 12 months, rents have increased 8% nationally and 6% within the London area. That is still quite a big jump in rents. And what is actually happening there is there's probably two things which are happening. The first thing is those people which are seeking to buy properties due to the affordability or lack of affordability due to high interest rates, people are being forced to rent for longer. So that's the first aspect. So because people aren't buying houses, they'll be renting. The second factor to take into consideration is we're led to believe that the number of rental houses or properties is actually constricting due to landlords leaving the market. So the combination of the two, there's more renters out there, less properties available for rent has had an upward drive on the level of rent that can be achieved. And we've seen that. We manage probably between 75 and 100 properties in London and Southwest London. And what we are seeing is that rents have increased between 10 and 13% on that localized level. Mm-hmm. And that is simply because when we have a new property which comes on to rental, we'll do a comparison on Rightmove and Zoopla and find out what local rents are doing. And they are about 10 to 13% higher than 12 months ago. And that, in effect, is the market rate for that particular property in that area. So it's good news if you are a landlord, because you know some yields have been suppressed in certain areas. Not so good news if you're renting or you're not in a position to actually afford to be able to buy a house. But again, we've spoken about this before. Not all landlords are bad people. Most of them are good people. Yes, some of them are using them as investment properties. Some people have accidental landlords where they call their boyfriend, girlfriend might move in together and you have a spare property. They rent one of those out. But the rental market is very, very key to the housing market because it allows a fluid workforce. So if, for example, I was going to take on a job up in Edinburgh, Manchester or Leeds, I may not want to buy a property in that area, but if it's a two-year contract, I'll probably be looking at renting in that area. So the rental market is quite important to make sure that we get the workers in the UK to move to the right areas to be able to work.
Yeah, what was interesting to me is in the comments once again is the Homelet said that rental growth is predicted to be up by 25% over the next 2 years as a result of the cost of living crisis, meaning that fewer people are able to, I guess, buy their own home. And that's really quite a disappointing and quite an awful prediction, actually. 25% over 2 years.
Yeah, and there's certain areas, again, when we look at, there's a newsreel called Prime Resi. They're predicting that areas such as Prime Central London will also increase by 25%. Rents will increase by 25% within the next 3 years. And this is just simply, there's not enough rental stock out there and is driving up rents. So we've got this kind of, the issues why, you know, landlords may be leaving the industry is basically the cost of living crisis has also affected landlords. Landlords, most landlords will have mortgages which support the property that they've bought. The interest rates on these buy-to-let mortgages is a lot higher than it would have been 2 years ago. So if the mortgage payments are going up, there's a general inflation in the economy of, you know, what was 10% 12 months ago, that general increase in prices and things like gas safety certificates, contractor call-out rates, all these increased charges, unfortunately, have to get layered onto the rent, which a landlord asks for to cover their costs. But because these costs are increasing, there's increased regulation for landlords. Some landlords are literally saying, I've had enough, and they are leaving the rental market, which again constricts the supply of rental homes. So it's like a double-edged sword where what is happening is rents will be driven up further.
Yeah. We've had a question here, which kind of is a nice segue, really, because obviously what underpins the ability of people to get onto the housing ladder is the ability of them to borrow. So Evgenia is asking here, could you speak to what's happening with funding availability for property on the consumer side and for developers? So I know that in your email this month, you talked about how interest rates are falling. And there are even some rates now that are under 4%. So what is going on in the lending market?
Yeah, so I think there's a huge positive to be taken there. In terms of, I can speak about the consumer side, and Nicole, do jump in on the developers. But on the actual interest rates which are available, although you have the Bank of England rate, which is set at 5.25%, the actual lenders, so this is the high street and the specialist banks lending to each other, they base their interest rates on something called swap rates, which is basically where that bank sees interest rates will be within a 2 year, 3 year, and 5 year period. And whatever rate they attain is referred to as a swap rate in layman's terms. And they can price differently from the Bank of England. So if we look at the best 2 year fixed rate mortgage for a residential purchase is 4.17%. And that's offered by the Halifax. The best five-year fix is 3.9%. That's often by Nationwide. And the best two-year tracker is 4.99% by a specialist bank called Leak United. So it's not Leeds, it's definitely Leak United. I double check that. So all of those rates are well below the 5.25%, which is the Bank of England rate. So these lenders believe that interest rates are on the way down over the next 2 and 5 years, and hence their rates that they set will be below the Bank of England rate. So the positive is lending is becoming more available. There are caveats. Some of these rates are only available to those which have pristine credit records. So that means they haven't kind of missed any payments on their direct debits. They're not in arrears on their current mortgage or any of their outstanding utility bills. And some of them, you will have to have a 40% deposit. So it'd be a 60% loan to value. But the positive is rates are starting to come down, which means affordability for those wanting to buy a property is actually increasing. When we look at the buy-to-let market as well, so this is for new landlords entering the market. So the best 2-year fixed rate is 3.64%. The best 5-year fixed rate is 3.89%. Both of those are with a company called The Mortgage Works. And the best buy-to-let tracker is 5.19% by a company called Mansfield Building Society. So again, all of those are well below the Bank of England rate of 5.25%. And the take from that is, if you look at rates 6 months ago on the buy-to-lets, we're looking at rates which are about 5.3%. So they're a good 1.5% higher 6 months ago. On the residential side, we mentioned that the best 2-year fix was 4.17. 6 months ago, the best rate was 5.49%. So I'm quoting the best rates. When you go to Money Supermarket, you'll actually see the average interest rates would be probably about the 6% mark. The message I have there is that there are good rates available, but it's why it's very important to go and speak to a reputable mortgage broker, get them to do the work, because they'll be able to get you the best rates. They'll know which mortgage lender will cater for certain cohorts of purchasers. So, for example, some high street lenders will favor first-time buyers. Some of the specialist lenders will favor buy-to-let landlords, for example. So again, only a broker will know that information rather than you and I trying to do it ourselves by speaking to the high street lenders. So it is positive. So lending is becoming more affordable. The banks, there is a mini price war going on, because what has happened is, I think since January, there have been 22 lenders have actually decreased rates since the beginning of the year. So there's a price war going on, because you've got to imagine these lenders are also fighting for market share. When they do sell you a 2 or 5 year fix, you are then locked into that lender for 2 or 5 years. They'll know what fixed return they're getting. So that is a profitable business for them.
Yeah, exactly. And we have to remember that there is still competition in the market, and they make money by lending money. So they need to have that money out there and working for them. I'm quite liking that 5 year fix at the high threes, personally. I think that looks quite good. I've been looking at mortgages at the moment, and if you've got a 60% loan to value, so 40% deposit, then you can get rates that start with 3, which is a very different market to where we were looking just a few months ago. What's also interesting, though, is the number of mortgage transactions. So net approvals for house price purchases in the UK, which is an indicator of the future borrowing, increased to 50,067 in November. And that surpassed the market consensus quite a bit, and which was up 9.9%. So just talk to us about that.
Yeah, so we mentioned transaction levels. So HMRC transaction levels are 20% below what they would be in a normal year. And the reason that there are less transactions is directly related to the high interest rates. What we are seeing, the figures you've quoted there, taken from the tracker, is that transaction levels are starting to increase, which is good news, which means that people are coming out to buy. So the estate agents that we work with, so we buy properties, we have good links with a lot of London estate agents, they are all reporting a very buoyant start to 2024. So buyers are coming out of the blocks, enthused by the decreasing in fixed-term mortgage rates. And as a result, there are more transactions kind of going through the system. And that's something we should track, or we will track over the next 2-3 months to see our transaction levels coming back to where they should be I think they will, because everyone we're speaking to, people are feeling more rosy, more confident about 2024.
Yeah, that's right. And that's showing in all the numbers that we're seeing right now. So yeah, interestingly, I did a podcast, which I released earlier this week, with Polly Ogden Duffy, who's the MD of John D. Wood and Co. And she was saying, she was recommending that people put their property on the market as soon as possible. And it makes sense, because if you wait till spring, then there are so many more properties out there that people are putting on the market. So there's so much more competition. So she's saying, do it now while there's less competition. So I think that's probably very good advice. They're also having a very good start to their year, and they are just London centric. So it'd be interesting to see what's happening in the rest of the country as well. But what are you seeing as far as client inquiries that you're getting through, and also international clients, given that we've got some changes potentially coming up?
Yeah, so we are seeing a higher level of inquiries for people that want to buy property in London and the southeast of England. And this is just because people have been sitting on their hands for the last 12 months. People again are coming out saying, well, now's the time. If you are going to buy something in 2024, let's go for it at the moment. The figures that we've been showing over the last couple of months are showing that house prices have leveled off. So I believe we are in a unique position where we are actually in a buyer's market. So if you have access to capital, meaning your mortgage is already in place, or you have cash ready to purchase a property, now is the best time to buy property. You'll have the best choice of properties available on the market, and there's less competition, meaning there's less buyers out there at the moment, because everyone's kind of sitting, waiting for rates, interest rates to fall a bit further. So my advice is, if you want to buy, definitely buy now whilst we're still in that buyer's market. As soon as interest rates start to fall, we'll see prices edge up. And when you're buying in a seller's market, it's very difficult to secure that good property.
What do you think about supply, though? Are we still seeing strong enough supply?
No, we're not. In the UK as a whole, there's not enough properties to go around. That's just a fact. And it doesn't matter if you look at the northern cities or areas such as London, there's not enough properties available for sale, which is why over the long term, house prices tend to go one way, which is upwards. Yeah. You alluded to the changes in the market as well. For the international buyers, and probably 60% of our clients are British people, but living in expat areas such as Hong Kong, Singapore, the Middle East. They want to buy property in London, because one day they want to come back and set up a home, or they want, you know, just a bolt hold in London. If Labour win the next general election, Labour has already pledged that they will be increasing the level of stamp duty for overseas buyers. So this is quite important, because at the moment, if you are an overseas buyer, whether it be you buying a property for you to live in a couple of years, or it's an investment property, you have to pay an additional 2% stamp duty on top of the actual rates of stamp duty we actually pay at the moment, which is, it works in bands, as you know. So if Labour come in, they're saying that they will actually increase that 2%. They haven't said by how much, which is quite alarming, because if it is another 1% or 2%, the market probably absorb. But if it's greater than that, there'll be more of an issue, because Labour are saying they'll use the extra stamp duty collected to build more houses or to fund more housing projects. In reality, what we don't want to do is kill the market. So again, with Labour coming in, say there is a general election in the latter half of this year, overseas investors, if they want to buy, they should buy as soon as possible before the election.
Yeah, and Polly was also saying in that podcast that historically people have paused around elections just to see how the dust settles. So again, she was saying that if you are looking to buy or looking to sell, then it's something that you should do prior to that election, which I believe is October, November this year. So yeah, really interesting. And there will be lots of interesting changes if Labour do get in, obviously with private school fees and things like that, not that they impact everyone. But what about the budget coming up in March? Are we hearing any rumours about whether there might be any changes for homeowners or those looking to buy or sell?
Well, it's quite an interesting topic, Nicole, because what we see is that the Treasury actually leak some of their sentiments, what they might do, just to gauge the public reaction. So it's being indicated that they may tinker with inheritance tax levels. Some people are saying, let's just abolish inheritance tax because it doesn't really collect that much in terms of revenue. But again, you've got to see behind why would MPs want the abolishment of IHT? And if it doesn't affect everyone, why give money away unnecessarily? They have also indicated that they may try and bolster the property market, which would, you know, I'm sure all the estate agents listening, property buying agents would like. If they did tinker with the stamp duty levels, I could definitely see them tweaking stamp duty, whether it be the different levels or different thresholds. That would actually add as a boost to the housing market. So I think the stamp duty may be affected, but those are the ones which will directly affect, you know, the housing market. The other one which I think they may change is basically the actual bandings for income tax. So if they come to that moment that I think they've frozen the bands over the last couple of years, they may increase the bands, which will basically mean there's more disposable income in people's pockets, which indirectly may affect people's decisions to move home.
Yeah, exactly. I think if you look at us historically here in the UK, we're in the highest taxed environment that we've been in, I think, ever. And especially if you look at corporation tax, it's very high right now and businesses are struggling. So I hope that they do something to support businesses, especially those SMEs around. Ido, thank you so much for that information this month. Once again, it's been incredibly informative. Can you repeat one more time where people can get in touch with you to get your tracker each month?
That's great. Yeah, always a pleasure. So if you drop me an email, it's hi@myproperty-consultant.london. And drop me an email, I'll add you to the mailing list. And if you have any questions in regards to the statistics that we push out, or just general advice about the housing market from a buying agent perspective, more than happy to help.
Great, thank you. And I'll put all of that in the comments on LinkedIn and Instagram and also in the show notes for this podcast. So thank you very much. And once again, for a really great podcast and for your really good questions and comments. And Edel and I will be here next month to talk about the January figures. So thank you very much. Live healthier, wealthier, and wiser lives. So thank you very much for joining me on this very long journey. And please do like, subscribe, and share because it all helps. But thank you.